Make sure I'm on here. Okay, there we go. So glad to be here with all of you on this first Sunday of December. But we are grateful to God for another opportunity to be in this place. Come on, bless the Lord with a hand clap of praise. Not only do I want to welcome those who are here, certainly want to welcome those who are online as well. We're grateful to God to have you joining us via live Facebook there. If this is your first time with us, a very special welcome to you. I'm Pastor KP, and I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, we're going to have our fifth grade and below. You can be dismissed to the back, and those who are serving in that area. Somebody didn't want to get up this morning, did they? We will go on. So here we are, you guys. The first day of the last month of 2024, and many of you have gone through some things, some very tough times, if you will. Some of us more than others. And so for many of our Gateway family and friends, some of you know, some of you don't, but it's been a very, very tough year. And in some cases, things don't appear to be getting any better for some. And then there's, you know, the looming uncertainty of year 2025 right around the corner, right, and what it could bring. And so I want to just say before we get started tonight, this morning, I want you to encourage one another and build each other up and be sure to make sure you're praying for one another, because that's God's will for us. Amen? Amen. And even so, my hope and my aim today is to just encourage all of our hearts in the word of God here. And I want to attempt to do that this morning in the book of Exodus. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to overview four chapters in the book of Exodus today. So this will be I'm going to have a little different approach than what you normally see from me. We do an expository message where we stand, we read verses from a certain book, from a certain chapter, and we'll just go verse by verse. But we're going to do something a little different this morning. As a matter of fact, as you can see up on the screen behind me, you already know what our title for today, and that's why we're going to do this way. It says, "Don't forget when." And I intentionally asked Tucker to put a blank underline there, because I want to fill in that blank as we go through a text today, well, some chapters today. But by the end of the message, I hope you'll be able to fill in the underline there in your own life. But don't forget when. Let me pray for us, and then I'll show you where we're headed today. Father, again, we are grateful for who you are and all that you've done, God, especially allowing us to experience your grace that we are here today. Speaks to your faithfulness and your goodness towards us, God, and I just pray for this time that we're going to have in your word today, God, that you would be glorified and we'd be blessed by it, Father. Encourage our hearts this morning, Father, as stated, many have gone through some very tough times, not just this year, but over the years, God. So help us be reminded by your Spirit. Don't forget when you've done this or you've done that for us, God. So I pray now for this hour in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want to follow along, the four chapters that we're going to overview is found in Exodus. So it's the second book of the Bible if you want to just go ahead and make your way there. But we're going to have it up on the screen behind us anyway. But we'll be in Exodus today, and we'll be looking at chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. So if you want to go there. But first, I want to begin today with the title of the book itself, Exodus, because I believe that title gives us the basic theme of the book of Exodus. And Exodus was adopted into our English language via Latin from the Greek word exodos. E-X-O-D-O-X-O-S. And exodus is a compound word, ex meaning out of, and that's why you have an ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend, they're out of the picture, right? But X means out of, and Hodos, H-O-D-O-S, meaning road or way. So Exodus or Exodus literally means the road out or the way out of. And that's why when most people think and talk about the book of Exodus, we think about God making a way out of, right, a road out of, if you will, Egypt for the Hebrews. Because there was this great exodus from Egypt. God delivered his people out of 400 plus years of slavery and the difficulty they were suffering there in Egypt. But just like the Hebrews did, sometimes we quickly forget the context of what happened right before that great deliverance, and we fail to appreciate all that God had done for them or how all that God has done for us. And in the closing chapters of the book of Genesis, which leads into Exodus, God uses Joseph, who was the youngest son of Jacob. Jacob, who God changed his name to Israel. And that's why they would go on to be known as the Israelites. But Joseph brings his father and his entire family, which was a total of 70 in all, to Egypt to save them from a severe famine in the land. So the first thing I want to say is don't forget when God in his infinite wisdom saved his people and provided for them by bringing them to Egypt and using Joseph during the severest famine that had ever come upon the land at this time. Because if God had not done that, they would have easily died during this time. But instead, it was during this time that God actually grew them into a great nation, fulfilling the promise to their ancestor Abraham. God promised to make Abraham into a great nation. And so it was during their time in Egypt. Remember now, it was 70 that came into Egypt. But during that time in Egypt, they went from a number of 70 persons to approximately over 2 million people. So don't forget, it's important to remember. Now, however, after Joseph and his brothers and all that generation died during that time, a new Pharaoh became king. And with this new Pharaoh, the scripture says to this new king, Joseph meant nothing. So the new king was the one who was responsible for the slavery. He put the slave masters over the Israelites and to oppress them with forced labor and to work them ruthlessly. And that's how the book of Exodus begins. So then when you come to the book of Exodus, you have now the birth of Moses. And now I'm just telling you what happens from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 14 before we get there. But you have the birth of Moses. And, of course, he later becomes God's leader slash God's instrument, if you will, for delivering his people out of their miserable state of slavery in Egypt. So it's important we don't forget how and when God did it. And this is where I want to focus in on four different occasions from four chapters of Exodus that if we consider them carefully, they're very relevant to us today. So now we set the stage. God initially brings his people into Egypt because God is saving them from a famine. Now a new Pharaoh, a new king has come into power who Joseph meant nothing to. So he begins to oppress the Israelites. He makes them slaves. But now when we get into Exodus, there's this special child that is born by the name of Moses, whom God is going to later use. And so after hearing the cries of his people in Egypt, God sends Moses to confront Pharaoh and the Egyptians and their God, and he does it through signs and wonders. Now, I need you to understand that God, and most of us know the story about what God did in Egypt. God demonstrated his power and that he was the one true God, the one true and only God. And he did it through what we have come to know as the 10 plagues. They were delivered with a strong or the mighty arm of God. So I need you to understand, watch this now, because they had been witnesses to all these miracles, the miracles and destructive judgments that came upon Egypt, but it did not destroy the children of Israel in the land of Goshen. And ultimately, if you've gone through the 10 plagues, they culminate in what? God's judgment in the death of all the firstborn sons in Egypt. But the Hebrew sons, their firstborn, remain alive. They had witnessed how God had put this great hedge of protection around them. And so when you come into chapter 13, we have Pharaoh and the Egyptians finally agreeing to let God's people go. And the people, they see the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This was a visible evidence of the presence of God with them. In our first chapter, I told you guys we're doing an overview of four chapters. So now that gets us up to chapter 14. When you come to chapter 14, here is the first of the four occasions I want to bring to our attention today. And that is the event that most of us are familiar with, and that is the event of the parting of the Red Sea. So go to, you want to be in your Bibles if you're following along. In Exodus chapter 14, I want you to look at I want to read verses 10, 11, and 12 for us. But before doing that, so after a brief time of grieving over the loss of their sons, the Egyptians, that is, Pharaoh changes his mind, and now he's determined to go after the Hebrews, and he comes upon them at the Red Sea. So that you read, beginning at verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Now, I want to appeal to your sanctified imagination just for a moment. So let me paint the picture for us. They're gathered there along the Red Sea, right? The edge of the Red Sea. And many of us, we picture this desert with sand and as far as the eye can see to the left or right, and there's this great sea or this great river in front of them that can't be crossed. But what I need you to understand, their circumstance is much, much graver. It's more serious than that. Josephus, the Jewish historian, records that the Hebrews were shut in between these inaccessible precipices in the sea. And what that means is, it's not that it was just that there wasn't just sand as far as the eye could see, but there were ridges of mountains on both sides of them. And they terminated at the sea. And so what you have is, you have these impassable mountains on both sides that close in at the sea. Now you got to really picture that. You got mountains on your left and mountains on your right, and you got about 2 million people following you. Think about that now. And you can't just tell the people, hey, some of y'all run that way and try to save yourselves, or some of y'all run that way and try to save yourselves, because there's nowhere to go. Amen. The mountains are impassable. You can't even say, well, maybe you want to turn and fight the Egyptians, because they hurried out of Egypt. They didn't have any weapons. The Egyptians, they had chariots, they had horsemen, they had armed soldiers. There's nothing that the Hebrews could do. And that should already resonate in some form or fashion, because some of our circumstances feel just like that. You've considered all the possibilities, but it appears there's no way out. People have come against you, or things have come against you, and you've tried everything you know to do, but it seems like there's just no way out. So what did the Hebrews do? Look what they say to Moses. Man, leave us alone. Wouldn't it have been better for us to just stay in Egypt, right, and serve the Egyptians, then die here in the desert? You act like it wasn't no graves back in Egypt. The Bible doesn't record it, but Josephus claims that, according to Hebrew tradition, that they wanted to stone Moses and give themselves up to the Egyptians. How quickly did they forget how he initially, that is God, brought them into the land of Egypt to save them from the famine, and how he demonstrated his power in and upon the land of Egypt in bringing them out of Egypt. I mean, it's bad enough that the Egyptians had forgotten, right? Or that the Egyptians hadn't learned anything. But why did the Israelite, now God's people, I mean, how long had this been? You're not talking about, this is not years later. You just witnessed all of what God had done for you. And now you get out here, you want to kill the man of God who led you out. You're saying, what in the world? We could have died back in Egypt. Graves were back there. As soon as they meet their first potential crisis, they've forgotten about the God that they serve. Where is their faith? All of it has flown out of the window. And I submit to you, they're not the only ones. There are many times that you've cried out to God, and he's delivered you out of your circumstance, and as soon as another potential crisis comes, you forget all about what God has done for you. And so the grumble begins. And it becomes a pattern of Israel. And this pattern costs them dearly. And this becomes the pattern of many of us today. So my main focus today is to encourage you, don't forget when you fill in the blank. Go to verse 13. Look at it. Look at the complaint. Oh, no, this is not the complaint. This is the answer here. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Mama Francis, I love that. Moses says, stop whining. Quit crying. Be still means be quiet, right? The Lord will do it. God is so gracious, isn't he? So they forget everything that the Lord has done, and you wouldn't think the Israelites would forget it in such a brief period of time, but they have. So the Lord tells Moses, you tell them, I got them. And Elaine can testify to this. I got so excited just meditating on this week because I was sharing a little bit of it with her. So they got the sea before them. This is me, my imagination again, Elaine. They got the sea before them. I'm standing up in the house, Dale. I'm like, they got the sea before them. They got the mountains around them. They got the enemies at their backs, right? In seemingly impossible situation. And what does God do? Now, if it pleased God, Mama Francis, even with the mountains, he could have just laid them flat and let them went through. Or he could have spoke a word and said, you be cast into the sea. But that's not what he does, though. That would have been miraculous enough, though. He makes the sea become dry ground. And now there's a road, if you will, a place of flight out for them. So the people go through on dry ground, and I got the laughing because the Egyptians are like, we can do that too. But the Egyptians wasn't aware, Mama Friends, that this road wasn't made for y'all. No, this road was made for the Hebrews and not other people. And I say that because sometimes we see that we go through similar situations to other people, and we think we're going to come out the same way. But that may not be God's road for you. Just don't forget when he has brought you through other times. And just be still and let God be God. So Pharaoh and all of his army, they are drowned in the Red Sea. And so we see God's not beginning his continued faithfulness, his continued protection to those who belong to him. Amen? And rightfully so. Go to chapter 15 for me. Y'all turn to chapter 15 in your Bibles, and rightfully so. We're just doing an overview now. When you come to chapter 15, there's great joy and celebration. Moses composed a song, and him and the Israelites, you know, they're singing these hymns. And they're singing these hymns to the Lord, and all of that is recorded in the first 21 verses of chapter 15. Having a good time. Y'all know how we get, right? We even do it when we get on social media. Even though we don't tell everybody what exactly it was he did, we say something, you know, God is good. Let me tell you, won't God show up and show out, right? And rightfully so, we're giving God some praise for something that y'all won't tell us what he did, but you're giving God praise for something that he's done for us or something that he's given us, right? And that's what we do. And we're always to be giving thanks to God. But notice, here's the second of the four occasions. Notice when you get to verse 22. Look at 22 and 23 now. So wait, let's go back. Brought you over here, saved you from a severe famine. Found yourself in another circumstance some years later where they're in slavery. God delivers you with a strong arm. He defeats the Egyptians with these mighty signs and wonders. Brings you out. You get out there, find yourself in another circumstance. You forget about what he just did. The man, the most holy God paves a road, if you will, right through the Red Sea. When it looked like it was an impossible circumstance or situation. You're happy about what he's done for you, excited about it, you're giving praise. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert. 3 days, y'all keep that in mind. Now we're talking about a short period of time. 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. Let me read the next verse for you. Read 24 with it. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" So let me paint this picture again, because I need you to understand this whole place. This is an entire desert place, right? Without food, without drink for them, or water, if you will. So what they had, what they left out of Egypt with, all that's gone now. All the food and water they possibly came out with, that's gone. And so now you're in this desert with very little water, so that it is, not only is it not sufficient for all the men that you brought out of there with you, but since it's very little water, there's no vegetation, no food can grow for you out here. And what little water they did find, it wasn't fit for drinking. So y'all got to imagine it. This is my mind. I'm sure they tired. You know, they couldn't jump in the Tesla, Tammy. I'm messing with you, Tammy. They couldn't just get in somewhere and go. No, they're on feet. They're walking here, right? They're tired here. They're thirsty for sure. They're hungry for sure. And they come to this well at Marah. And Mar means bitterness, so that's why it says that there. Go back to verse 23 for me. That's why it says that there. Go back for me. Yeah. So it says that they could not drink his water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Mara, because Mar denotes bitterness. But now go back over to 24. Look what happens. The people grumble against Moses. What are we to drink? Now, how many of us can relate to this? I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, can relate to this, because soon as we get the job that we've been praying for, right? Come on now. Soon as you get that promotion, right? We're excited to tell everybody how good God is, right? Soon as God delivers you out that bad situation, that circumstance, we are bragging on God. Soon as we're feeling better from that sickness, we can't tell people. You know the famous saying in the church, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Only to quickly forget his goodness as soon as we find ourselves in another situation. Don't forget you just crossed that Red Sea on dry ground when you couldn't see your way out. Now you're complaining because things are not going so well. So I like what the man of God does. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, denoting prayer. The man of God goes into prayer for the people of God. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Notice the latter part of that. Go over for me, because I think isn't it another part of this verse? Go over for me. So the latter part of the verse says, there the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. So the basic thing I need you to see from this second occasion of the four is God grants Moses favor, right? Shows him that piece of wood, throws it into the water. It becomes fit to drink. And so we continuously see God's faithfulness, not only as a protector, but we see his faithfulness as a provider here, that even when they came to the place, and you got to keep, look, it's always, I love this, because God don't want man to think he's doing it on his own. Sometimes he'll allow you to be in the circumstance you find yourself in, you're supposed to see there is nothing I can do. I can only trust God. Amen. A place with little water, little food, and what water you do find, you can't even drink it. You think about that. Now, don't go try to throw no piece of wood in no water now. This is God showing us. We're supposed to learn from this something about him. Y'all laughing, but preachers get up here and say, do that stuff. So, no. But just the Lord shows him a piece of wood, throws it in there, and this water now becomes sweet water. But it also says the Lord issued that ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. And so what he does is he basically goes on to demand their faithfulness to him just as he has been faithful to them. And too often we're too busy trying to see how God is going to do something if we're not too busy trying to tell him how to do it, right? Rather than focus on the faithfulness that we're to be found by him. And in this way, we're going through things that is the testing of our faith and our faithfulness. Amen. I don't know how long they were in the desert before the Egyptians came up on them, but I don't imagine it being very long. Pharaoh changes his mind, comes after them. I do know how long. It was only 3 days later after y'all just witnessed the greatest thing ever. Can you imagine walls of water on the side of you? You witnessed that, and 3 days later, hey, man, we ain't got nothing to drink. You should have left us over there. Really? It's easy to look at the Egyptians the Hebrews or the Israelites and look at them and be like, I can't believe them, but I'm telling you, we do this all the time. Our complaining just may not be towards a man per se, but any complaining that you do is against God, because if you claim that you trust him, that he is the all-knowing, all-wise God, God is sovereign. He knows all. Except for my circumstance slipped through the crack. Go to 16 for me. Turn over to chapter 16 for me. Let me read the first three verses there. We're going to tie it all together in the end here. I'm just painting the picture. God saves, delivers, protects, provides. Find yourself in another circumstance. You forget about what happened, what he did the last time. You're complaining, or you're downcast, or you're depressed. And God does it again. Find yourself in another circumstance. And the cycle just continues. When you come to chapter 16, look at the first three verses there. We'll read four, but we're going to look at the first three. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Tucker, when I was reading this, and I'm sitting there like, my goodness. Because I'm sitting there reading it, and my mind is going back to what he did. So my mind kind of trying to anticipate what's going to come next. And in my mind, I thought it would say something like this. The Israelites said to them, not the diet part, but the Israelites praised the Lord for all that he did here, here, and here. But when we get here, we sat around. You're remembering when you were in slavery, when you would eat, when you had all those pots of food that you're talking about, all the meat and all the food you wanted, why were you crying out to God then if that was all you needed? But now you get out here, and now you don't got to another place. God just now made bitter water sweet. Now you're at a different place, and now you're talking about, man, I remember we had all kinds of stuff back over there. We do it too. All the time. I remember when it used to be this way and used to be that way. Just because you may have fallen on some hard time or some difficult time, do not complain against God about those things. Because look at what he said. Yeah, I don't understand, how did they separate from the fact that, yeah, once you got finished with that pot of meat, you was out there up under some brick and mortar or at the end of a whip. You brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly. If I could speak to them, Tucker, I would tell them, don't forget when the Egyptians were going to overtake you, even though God commanded them to leave you alone, how you went through a new road on the sea. Don't forget that same road that God preserved you on was the same road he destroyed your enemies on. And after, don't forget, after that same river that everybody else came to only to find bitter water was sweet water for you. I would tell them the same thing that I'm trying to tell y'all. Don't forget when, fill in the blank. That's right. Amen. Only we died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Look at verse 4, what Moses does. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In this way I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions." And if you go on, most of you probably know the story, but if you go on, I want you to. I'm challenging you. This is the overview. You go on and read. Here's what God does for them. Not only does he rain down bread from heaven, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but he allows quails. He sends a bunch of quails to come fly over the place to where they get, Josephus records, they get tired, so tired that all the quails just laying right in their camp. Go figure. Out of all the places in the desert, they get tired where you guys are and land there so that you can now have meat to eat. And when he says he's going to rain down bread from heaven, this is a miracle, you guys. Most of us have heard of manna, but this is a miracle. This is not something you just grow out there in your garden. No. As a matter of fact, when it came down, according to Josephus again, they thought it was something like snow on the ground. Only to get it, and it's this thin wafer-looking thing that's very thin, a coriander seed type, and they tasted it, and it was really sweet. So that he rained down bread from heaven. Y'all got meat out of nowhere. Well, no, let me back up. I'm wrong there. I said something wrong there, because one person did argue, Tucker, that's not true when it came to the quails. that area, that land was full of known to be full of quail. But again, what are the odds of all of them stopping right there? And again, okay, fine, you got me. You got me. Quails are known in that land and in that area, everything. Explain the bread from heaven. You can't get good enough to make that. Who had manna on Thanksgiving? I'll wait. Nobody. So we got to understand, you might can argue that one, but that this was a miracle. This was honey and sweetness. This manna was, it had a honey sweet type of taste to it, a pleasant taste to it. So when it says, now here go the people, and I need you to notice, God always, this is what we mean by he's faithful to us even when we're not faithful to him. Here they are complaining over and over and over, forgetting when he's done this for them and done that for them. And yet they come out here, we had all these pots of meat over here and all the food we wanted to eat, and yet now God brings quail for them. He rains down manna from heaven. They get this manna, bread from heaven, which is manna. And this manna is a miracle bread that comes down, and it sustains them. And the whole testing of them, you can only gather so much within 6 days. If you brought it in your house later than what he told you, it would turn to worms. It would spoil. So it was that type of miracle that God was doing. And oftentimes, even when God do show up for us, we take for granted what he's done for us, and we take advantage of a circumstance and a situation to where now we've gone beyond. Because look at what he says. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. I'm going to give them. I'm going to take care of them. And then I'm going to have some instructions to see how faithful they're going to be. It's all God never fails us. But we've got to be so focused and don't forget when he's been his favorite. He's been protector, provider, healer in times past. He's the same God. But here they are. We find them over and over and over again till when we look at this next circumstance. Go to 18 for me. Were we there? 17, I'm sorry. 17 for me. We're there. Look at these first. I'm going to read all seven verses because I want to summarize the seven verses. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Been there before, right? So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord. Before I keep reading them, I told you that you're going to see that this becomes a pattern for them. And you can clearly see the pattern has developed. Time and time again, and I don't think many of us catch this, how guilty we are of doing this same thing. I'm trying to get us to understand sometimes God allows things in our lives to see if we're going to keep the faith. That's right. And all you simply have to do is don't forget when. He's always, it's not just a song. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He really is. Not, you know, how grandmama saying it may not come when you want it, but it'd be there. It's at an appointed time. Because in the midst of that, he's doing something on our behalf. He's growing us. Do you know you grow your most in your trials? You become more holy. You become more righteous. You become more faithful in the testing of your trials. If everything went the way you wanted it to go, then it's easy to praise the Lord. But will you, as soon as another potential crisis comes, what will you do? Will you grumble and complain, or will you remember when? They're doing it again. Now they've come to another place, and we ain't got no water over here. And it wasn't like the other time. Now they're demanding of him, you give us something to drink. Got Moses even hot now. Moses, man. Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered Moses, right in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile back in Egypt and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. Stop for a second. I get it. All of us are amazed at the miracle now. You know, if you can point out a stick and throw it into the water. But there is no water here. And I don't know if you like me. I played with rocks when I was a kid. I ain't never hit a rock and water came out of it. But now he tells him, he says, you go out and you stand in front of the people. Take the elders with you. And you take that staff that you had, you and Aaron had back over there in Egypt that you struck the Nile with. And I want you to strike a rock. And he strikes this rock, and look what happened. And he called that place Massa in Meribah because the Israelites quarreled. And because, look at this, they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And the thing I need you to understand, all of this was a foreshadowing of our Savior to come. The bread of manna. That bread of heaven, that manna that came down from heaven, that's why Jesus comes and says, I am the bread of life. Amen. This rock, now that I don't imagine this is just somewhere with little drops coming. Where you talking about 2 million people, I imagine a spring coming out of this rock. And Jesus says, he is the rock of our salvation. Now, when I understand how water even came from that rock, all you who are thirsty, come unto to me. That's what Jesus says. So all of this was a foreshadowing of God, who is our salvation. That's why now when you back up, that's what the whole picture of the Exodus, just like they was delivered out of slavery, their physical slavery, those who come to Christ are delivered out of their spiritual slavery. Doesn't mean it's going to always be easy. You're going to run into potential crisis. But will you trust God? Will you don't forget when you were the alcoholic, when you were the adulterer, when you were the fill in the blank, the liar, whatever you were. Don't forget when. But somehow this message has got mixed up. Like now you come to him, it's going to be easy. Oh, he done delivered us out of Egypt. Now we're finna go on. Yes, there is a promise of a land flowing with milk and honey. There is a place that is promised for the Christian. A place of rest. Now they had a physical land that they were going into. But there's a place that Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place. If that ain't true, I wouldn't even told you that. But not only am I prepared, and when I come back, I'm going to take you there to be with me. So the next time you find yourself in a circumstance and you experience an exodus or exoduses, you know, remember what the word exodus means now. It means the way out of, right? The road out. How many times, this is me personally, KP, how many times you cried out to God and he heard your cry? He made a way out. So it's not just a song, Tammy. It really registers when we say he's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. See, when you're supposed to be thinking about your life, not just get into it. No, think about it. Light in the darkness. So the next time you're facing adversity, sickness if even, or hardships, various trials of any kind, death even from a loved one, don't forget when. Why is it that we always seem to focus so much, this is what I see from the Israelites, Why do we always seem to focus so much on the circumstance itself that we're in? And knowing that the more you focus on it, it brings you to a very low place. Even depression, even worrying and anxiety. And yet we keep finding all these words. Don't worry. Cast all your cares upon me. All these things he tells us not to. As if what we didn't learn a few weeks ago, God is ruler in heaven and on earth. So come what may in our lives, in this day or in the days to come, and let me pause for a second. For those who may not be going through anything really hard right now, thank the Lord for one. Encourage your brothers and sisters for two. And don't you forget this word, because it's coming. It's coming. No, not that I'm trying to hope or wish bad things on you. Life happens. Nobody goes through this life without trials. So don't forget when. But also don't forget who. The one who watches over us. The one who sustains us. I wanted to point out those particular four things because they look like very impossible situations. But the scriptures tell me, Lane, I'm encouraged that what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I have been in some situations that I thought was impossible to get out of. And yet, I am a living testimony that God is a deliverer. He does make a way. And I can't think of a time that he did it in a way that I thought he was going to do it. Not one time. So be careful with your complaining, our complaining. In the words of our Savior, let's not let Christ, if he had to speak to us today and say, oh, ye of little faith. No, but let us reaffirm our faith. Let us remember when and not forget when God, you know what? He did it before. He can do it again. God is faithful. He's a protector. He is real. He's a provider. He's a healer. Whatever you're going through, doesn't mean the road out is going to be the way you think. And that's why all of our hearts and minds should be set on eternity. Because if whatever I thought was going to happen in this life, if you understand what is to come in eternity when God sets all things right, all things straight, then and only then you know, things will be as God had wished and desired them to be. So he tells us there is a momentary affliction in these days. There is trials and hardships these days. But he says, you don't have to worry about the world. Don't be scared. Don't fret, because I have overcome the world. And so all those who have faith in Christ, we have victory in him. Not in the human sense. I can't stand up here and promise you God's going to physically heal a condition that you may have. I can't sit up here and promise you that God is going to give you whatever you've been praying for by way of a house, job, whatever. What I can promise you is this. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, trust in him for your salvation, that there is a day that is to come where God will make all things new and set all things right. Amen? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your work on Israel's behalf, God. God, we have just begun to see something of your overwhelming patience, your mercy, your kindness, your love, and your grace in dealing with the people that you chose for yourself. And God, now, God, we can learn from that and know that in Christ Jesus, we now have become children of God. And so, God, may we be encouraged and challenged that all you have done for us in Christ, and all you have promised us in Christ, that we can but trust you, God, no matter what this life throws at us. Anything that comes into our life, God, May we not forget when. God, I pray this shape our thinking and our behavior in the week that is before us, God. May we not leave this year and go into a new year in the same mindset, God. Lord, we stand in awe of your faithfulness, God. And the songwriter is just echoing what your word already says, and that is true. You never fail us, God. And so we praise you, God, for Jesus and what we have in him. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 At this time, they'll play something softly. I want to give you an opportunity. I want you to, before, if you are coming forward, I want you to stop for a second and just think, though. Don't forget when. It won't take you long. If you're intellectually honest, it won't take you long. Am I the only one? He delivered out of hundreds of situations. Don't forget when. Give you an opportunity. Won't ask you to stand, but I do want you to come forward if you desire to. Or for those who want to pray, you can come to my left, your right. You can kneel and pray and nobody bothers you. Or if you want someone to pray with you, you can come to my right, your left, and come pray on this side. But give you this opportunity at this time. You don't have to stand. All the others don't have to stand, but those who desire to come, won't you come? While they are praying, Elaine, if you, is someone back there? You can go get the kids, and if you've been overlooked, as we prepare our hearts and minds for participate in communion, please raise your hand. Waiting on the youth now. I do hope you'll take the time to go back and, again, that was just overviewing. So just put it in your memory. I want you to go back and read those and really consider what God did in those circumstances. Sometimes we minimize the power of God. That same God is the God we believe in today. Is he laying back? She's coming to us. The title is perfect for what we're about to do, because this is why we do it, so we won't forget when Jesus Christ came to this earth, came in the flesh so that he might take upon himself our sins, the sins of the world, so that we can be made right with God and have a relationship with him. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do. How could we forget, God? That had it not been for you, God, yeah, God, we got hundreds, if not thousands of other testimonies, God, of what you've done for us, but none greater than the body that was given for us. Because that was our road out, God. Here's the road out of sin, Father. So we thank you, God, for this opportunity to remember that. Thank you for the body that was given for him. I pray that you'll bless this as we partake. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we do. We thank you for the shed blood on Calvary, the blood that washes away our sins, the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, our Lord and our Savior. Please bless this cup as we partake. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Never, ever forget when Jesus came and gave his life as a ransom for all. Amen. Thank you all so much for your attention on today. We got one last thing I need to take care of today. Miss Diane, if you would come forward for me. Oh, now we got a couple of Dianes. Miss Diane Crusoe, yes. If you would, come and turn and face the congregation for me. Miss Diane has expressed her desire to become a member here of Gateway Community Church. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. She's been with us some time now, and is, as if she's already been a member, faithfully comes on Sundays and Wednesday nights. Hint, hint, and on Wednesday nights, she's here. But wanted to make it formally, and she and I met, and she reaffirmed her faith in Jesus Christ, and we talked about, while I'm grateful to her for the commitment of coming on Sundays and Wednesdays, I did encourage her to look for those opportunities where she could serve at Gateway, especially when she hears that we need someone to help out in a certain area and those types of things. And I also talked to her about the accountability that we all have for one another as not only the body of Christ, but even as this local assembly. She represents Christ first and foremost, but she also represents this local assembly as she's joining herself as a member of this local assembly. So we had all that. So Gateway, again, come on, let's bless the Lord and welcome Miss Diane. And what I want to do here in the end, I want to not only pray us out in closing prayer, Brother Dennis is in the back to receive any benevolent offering you so desire to give. Before you go back to the back, please come round and welcome her officially as a member of Gateway. And did you have any family you want to come up with you right now? You can. It's okay. If anybody want to come, that's up to you. Oh, she said they all here. She wants you up. She wants you to come. Come on. Yeah. If you didn't know, yeah, this is Al's mother-in-law and her daughter, Santoya, and the other. Please tell me your name. Forgive me. Huh? Say it again? Cheyenne. Okay, I'm sorry. Come on. And Henry, fiance. Come on. Come on, bless the Lord again. Mm-hmm. So after I pray and bless the food, please, 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 even if you're not going to stay for dinner, please come at least and show some love up here. Amen? Amen. Father, I come again before you and to give honor, praise, and glory, and thanks. And before we close out, God, I thank you for Miss Diane, God, and I pray now. First, give you thanks, God, for adding more to this body. God, you know what you have willed for her life. You know in what way you, by your spirit, have chosen for her to serve, God. So I pray in the days to come, you would make that clear, God. I pray that you would strengthen her in your word, Father God. Strengthen her both in mind and in heart, God. Pray for strong conviction by your spirit, God, for her to be found faithful as a servant of God in Jesus Christ, God. I pray that she would experience the love of Christ from her fellow believers of this local assembly, God. And I pray, God, that not just her, but all of us, God, who name your name, will honor and glorify you with our words and with our lives, Father. Now, God, please, as she has joined herself to this local assembly, God, may we rejoice in seeing what you are going to bring to pass and what you will do through her, God. God, even as we prepare to leave this place, God, we thank you again for our time of fellowship together, our time of praise through song and in giving, God, and especially in your word, God, and reminding us of all the times that you've been so faithful and good to us, God, how you continuously are faithful and good to us. As the people leave this place, your favor and your blessings upon them. As we prepare to fellowship even further in meal, God, I pray for the food that has been prepared. May it be used for the nourishment of our bodies. For Christ's sake, amen. 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 God bless you. Come around and show us some love.